I made a place for all this. Everything that bids in front of you for your time, everything that bids against your ability to settle on me, I made a place in my grace for you to overcome and go further, saith the Spirit of grace. Es de flama. Think not that I have placed you in a strait and a tight place. For in my Father's house, there's room. There's room to be what you're not yet and still keep going forward. And think not that I'll accuse you to your Father. But know this, that I have sent one to lift you up and to always plead your case, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Es dolofoma. Es delefronchetene. There's not a fleeting moment in my presence that I see you warring, see you trying to step up and find a place of authority which I've declared that you have. There's not a moment that I look on you and say, oh, because of their weakness, they're in that place. Know this, that I see you as I have said that I see you, high and lifted up, high and seated above all those things with me. For I paid that price, and that blood was more than enough. So therefore, my continual contemplation for your access into me is that my grace is more than enough, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Maso coleniti adono. O prende fedestiti. Now he just said this to me as I was down there. Read this. There was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah. When he opened it, he found a place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Hallelujah. There's not another time which he'll empower these words. They've been fulfilled in his time and then passed on like a baton to us. For the works that I do, he said, greater works. These works you'll do also, and even greater. Well, the greater we know this was he was opening up a whole new era that we could go and say, are you born again? If you're not, you can receive him. But besides for that, the recovering of the sight, those that were brokenhearted. It wasn't necessarily the sight of the eyes. But he said in Ephesians chapter 5, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. He was speaking to the church, and Christ shall give thee light. This is an adjustment inside of you, saith the Spirit of grace. If you'll humble yourself, and humble yourself is to become totally teachable. And still klofreste, all right. He said, stop rehearsing what you already know. Stop rehearsing what you already know. And receive freshness and the newness of my encouragement to you, saith the Spirit of grace. Receive that adjustment on the inside. Hallelujah. So why don't you begin to just rest in Him. Lift your hands and just watch Him usher. Hallelujah. And now the rest of you will just stretch your faith this way. We just exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I want to go through that song again. And JC, you need to get ready to come up here with your flag. If you're going through something in life and you think about, you know, I think I'll just set this one out, this part of my life out with a little bit of sobriety, somberness. You're prolonging your misery. Because the word of the Lord says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And see, here's the deal. We used to interpret that, the joy that He gives you, and it is, that's where it planes out at. When Rick Joyner went to heaven and when he wrote that one part in there, my spirit just testified to it. Because I know what joy it brings to him. And all of you guys stay up here because the second wave's coming through. Don't leave your post. Florida State, don't leave. I know. Listen. Do you have any idea the ecstasy, the joy that you bring your Father when you worship Him? Right in the midst with all of hell is breathing. See, anybody, when the bills are paid and the family's all together and blah, 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 blah. Anybody can just lift their hands and say, wow, God, You're a good God. He'll receive that. But you know when He receives the most? When you're just absolutely billions of tons, metric tons of weight are on your shoulders. And you lift up those paddles and just begin to worship Him and say, I love You, Father. I magnify You. I glorify You and exalt You. And He said that when He saw people on earth, He was standing there when He saw people on earth begin to praise Him in the midst of insurmountable odds that things would ever change. He said it began to bring a joy to the Father, almost giddy, where He almost was bouncing off of His throne. And that joy that He was feeling interpreted and spilled out on earth. And when it spilled out on earth, it began to be our strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I don't necessarily feel it. Now, let me tell you something about feelings. They're way, way, way overrated. They're way overrated. Way overrated. Smith Wigglesworth, the man that documents verified how many people that he raised from the dead. He said emotions in the church were way overrated. Way overrated. And he'd get up on his morning deal. You know, I don't feel like rejoicing some mornings. I just feel like finding that first cup and hope that nobody says anything until I can wake up. The way that he had started his mornings. Just because he had some kind of vendetta against the flesh, and the flesh was not going to push him around. The word of the Lord says, rejoice. And it didn't say, now when you feel like it. And when I evolve out of this cocoon that I'm in, then I will begin to rejoice. I'll eventually come. He would get up while it was still cold and while it was anesthetic kind of setting. And then he would begin to do his little, woo, I worship You, Father. I praise You. I magnify. Well, that's just silly. Oh, I'm silly in victory. I wake up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't feel like it and I'm not going to do it. Well, I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to force you. And when you leave here, don't be mad that you're miserable. But I do know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. And if the best that you can do, sometimes victory for you is not to jump and run and shout, but the best that you can do, if you can just do this. What's wrong with your feet, son? They're happy pop. I got happiness in my feet. Hallelujah. In a little bit, it'll get up in your knees. In a little bit, woo! Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Where's my flag flyer at? Here she is. Where's she at? Where, come on up here, precious. Now let's just worship God, everybody. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, yeah, let me. Oh, so let me. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is here at this point in your life to try you, as though some strange thing from another place had come to place you in a vacuum. For many of you feel very estranged from my presence. Many of you feel yourself closed off from the atmosphere that is around you. But have I not said, will you not believe me when I say that if you'll take these things one step by faith, I'll go the next step and bring you into the rejoicing that you feel from out of your innermost being, saith the Spirit of grace. And do you not know that the things that I bring, they're not temporary. They're not just for a service. Oh, but you say these things in argument. You say, but I'll feel this now, but when I go home and tomorrow, these things will be far from me. Know these, that this is only a kiss, for I desire to come with intimate fellowship with you all during the week, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. I said, Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's to me, but I can tell you what he said. Tell him. What did he say in that? He told me. He said, tell him how to keep what they just got. Okay. So I'll do that. He said, tell them how to keep what they just got. Because see, with every grace line, so the rejoicing came, and the rejoicing's a telltale sign of victory, okay, that he did come. But you could see it if you could see into that realm. You'd see a lot of things sometimes that would just absolutely floor you, because it's a literal realm. And angels will stand around and they'll give heed to whatever he's doing. But the one that's really doing it's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's bringing the essence of grace, and those ones that are attending to that, they're just part and partisan to that. They're just ministering. But they're here, and most importantly, the Holy Spirit's here, and He's bringing Jesus to us. And the victory reports that come back, like it's an antiphonal kind of praise. It's not just going up, it's coming back. It's ascending and descending. And the part that's coming back to us is the victory report. So the part of you that says, I want to worship Him. And even when you don't, then you begin to want to. It's like priming an old pump. And you just start beginning out in faith. And then the part that begins to believe is the part in you that He's giving the witness to. But a lot of times people will mistake that. They'll mistake that part as they'll go away, and even that part that he set up here, like tell them that this goes past a Sunday service. It'll go into Monday, Tuesday, right on to the end of the week. Well, it will. But then he also has to bring you in on it. He has to bring your authority in on it. And he has to make you the steward of his word and his authority. Because if you stand on a grace line and then you go out and you say, okay, I received something. Sure enough, you did. I mean, honest. God came and you received something. But what you received is the initiation. You received the earnest, like the down payment. You received a down payment. You know what a down payment is? The earnest. Like, I'm going to purchase this from you. Yep. How do I know you'll be back? Okay, well, here's 10% of it. I promise I'll be back.
the earnest of your inheritance, like walking into everything that you are on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and coming back on Sunday, is His Spirit raising up in these services and saying, okay, here's the faith. But then He has to pull you in on it, because if you walk out and zombie out on Him, just go right back into what you were doing before, then you'll find this grace springs a leak, and it's like, then people accuse God and they say, God, you were there and I just don't know what happened. I felt so good on Sunday and now I feel like just cussing the cat and throwing the dog out and just my whole world's upside down. Well, a few of you are honest, ones that laugh, and the other ones are like, oh, wow, I'm glad I'm way above all that stuff. Well, when you stop telling, well, no, I'll get too far out there. But the earnest of it is Him coming here and then saying, okay, you can do it, little one. Okay, you can do it. But you got to do. So He's telling me to go to 101. I mean, plain vanilla. Like, see the cat. See the ball. Watch Jane run. Not scientific stuff. Just, what did He say? Everybody will know. So let's turn to Mark 11. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you stretch your faith this way, and you intercessors, and you know who you are. My intercessors, lift me up. Father, I worship You. I receive their prayers. They know how to hold me up, Father. They know how to put me right there and keep me there. And I receive the grace that comes from that place. I can do nothing of myself. But I can do all things through You, Father, through the Lamb. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mark 11, are you there? All right. Let's look here. On about verse 11. 11, 11 will be good. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when He looked around about, upon all things. Now evening tide was come. He went into Bethany with the 12. Now this is not our message, but I will tell you this. Jesus is about to throw a holy fit. What? He's about to throw a holy fit. But anything that Jesus does, He never loses it. He calculates His anger. He calculates anger that is calculated and postponed anger and funneled through the power and the Spirit can oftentimes be interpreted as holy, righteous anger that avenges and takes back and destroys citadels which Satan himself has built. So the important part to see here is so easy to be passed over is that verse 11 says, Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when He had looked around about upon all things, and now it gets to be evening. When evening tide was come, He went out to Bethany with the 12. So the first time that He walks in on this particular, we're going right in, we're getting into the place, we're right into that passion. We're into this last week. He's already sent him to get the colt. He enters into Jerusalem. Now, I like the way that Luke or Mark here tells it, because the first time he goes in, he does nothing. He just surveys everything. He just looks around about. Okay, this is the way it is, huh? This is the way it is. So he just walks out and he goes out to Bethany, which is just a real short distance out of the temple. And 12 says, and on the morrow, the next day, when he'd come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. Now, obviously, I mean, just elementary, my dear Watson. Jesus knows. I mean, He's grew up in Palestine. He knows that the time of figs is not yet. But His demeanor in coming forward is about to teach His disciples something. And I'll just run way ahead of myself because we're going to get into the academics, because he said 101, so I don't want to get you too far out there in space. But the reality of this whole thing here is this. The reason why he cursed the fig tree instead of doing the reversal, I mean, the man that can do from the roots up die is the same man that can say now and figs would come on there. So, I mean, he could have done either one. It's nothing to him. But what he's about to do is he's about to teach his disciples not just faith. He's about to say to the religious order of the day, it's over. It's over. You priests, you Pharisees, the fig tree was the stereotypical, it was the stereotype of the religion of the day, and those guys had had their shot and they had failed. They had brought people into extortion. They had ruled the temple not as a house of prayer. They had combated him for 3.5 years on miracles and said, miracles? You're of the devil. The devil's doing miracles. And he had set the priesthood in order to bring his people to a place to receive his coming. But he knew and he prophesied the day and hour would be just as it was when he came. He wasn't just fighting a political system of the Roman government. He was fighting his own people where the preachers were the ones that were about to crucify him. But nevertheless, he steps up and this whole cursing of the fig tree, and we don't have time to go into that, but the bigger picture here is this. It's not just faith, which we're going to teach for the next few moments on faith, but the bigger picture is here. He steps up to the scribes and Pharisees, to the Levitical priesthood at that time, and says the fig tree is cursed. From this point on, a new dispensation begins. And that new dispensation is me. I am the way to the Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, and happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said, watch this. Long prayer? Mm-mm. Long, long discourse, 5-minute prayer? Uh-uh. He spoke to the fig tree and said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it, and they came to Jerusalem. And Jesus went into the temple and began to, now here's his holy fit. He began to cast out them that sold and brought and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seat of them that sold doves, and would not allow that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning they passed by and saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to the remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Hallelujah. We're going to go right into 22 in just a moment. But again, recap what's happening here. This is in the Passion Week. He's going into the he's funneling into his work. 33.5 years is coming down to an apex. He's going into this place. This is it. I mean, it's over. And one dimension is being passed away, and another one is being introduced into the planet Earth. And Jesus runs up to this fig tree because he's going in there, because he just yesterday had looked at something and said, uh-uh, never again. No more. This has always been the way the people of God have always come to the Father. And it has become so perverted that they have narrowed it down to believe that extortioners are standing in my Father's house and selling lambs and selling doves for inflated costs so people can say, I'm bringing this to the Father so that I can please Him. And he said, it's over. It's over. The fig tree is cursed. And the next day, His disciples are walking along, and Peter said, hey, Master, look at it. And they all stopped. And they noticed, I mean, I've seen trees die before, but I don't know that I've ever seen a tree die from the root. And never in 24 hours' time. I mean, this thing began to curl up from the bottom upwards. Thus Jesus pronouncing this season for the Levitical priesthood was over. But watch what Jesus said. Jesus said, when this was called to their remembrance, in verse 22, and this is where He said, teach them to keep the other half of this. Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Now we've taught on this oftentimes. In fact, just to remind you, there's two words here for the word say. One is the word lego, L-E-G-O, and the other one is epo, E-P-O. Lego means this. I'll just tell you, and you can look up for a moment, and then we'll go right back into it. So I'll take this rabbit trail just for a moment because it'll be profitable for you. Lego means this, to set in discourse. He says the word say here several times. But in the grammar of the Greek, you can pick it out. One is the word L-E-G-O and one is E-P-O. The L-E-G-O says this, to set something in discourse. Once you begin to say it, believe that it begins to agitate, it begins to work. It's like pouring two chemicals together and they begin to work one against the other till something is formed. Epo is just to say it. But Lego is to set it in discourse and believe that from the moment that you set it in discourse, something of power begins to agitate and move towards an expected end. Hallelujah. Jesus said, have faith in God. Better translations say, have the faith of God. For verily I Lego unto you, that whosoever shall say, epo, unto this mountain, just say it with his mouth, be removed and be thou cast into the sea. And he was standing there at the Mount of Olives, and he was standing at a literal mountain, and he was saying, look, I'm saying to you boys, okay, you're looking at the fig tree, look at that. Look at this, look at that. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, set it into discourse, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith, epo, or lego rather, set into discourse, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he utters with his mouth, epo. Hallelujah. Therefore I lego, I set into discourse this thing unto you. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now let's just stop right there for just a moment. So the next part of this is critical, but it's not the total objective of the Holy Spirit. Here's where His objective is this morning. Jesus said this, I say unto you, and this is real elementary, but if you don't get this part, or if you've known this part and it evades you, or if it's been washed over by circumstances that you've allowed to become bigger than His voice and bigger than the mouth that you should speak His word with, you have to understand this. He said, I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou cast into the sea, should not doubt in his heart, but should believe that the... Notice this, that he's not a hypocrite. He tells the disciples, whosoever will say unto this mountain, listen, there's a time to talk to God. But you know, when I hear people praying, a lot of times what I hear, and it doesn't bother me. I know they mean well. They just talk, they pray for about 5-10 minutes, and they just tell God everything He already knows. That's not, He loves to hear from you. That's just not doing anything. He already knows what you're going through. He already knows what the situation is. What you've got to begin to do is allow His Word to come out of your mouth to Him so that there is this antiphonal kind of worship in your prayer going to Him. Father, this is what Your Word says about this situation. Then the next stage of that is this. You're going to turn and not talk to God anymore. There comes a place where you stop talking to God about it and speak to the mountain. You speak to it. And the man had just done that the day before. He didn't get to the fig tree and say, Father, I'm asking you right now. I'm asking you, Father, to to come and show these boys by my prayer. He didn't say nothing to the Father. He just said, I'm talking to you, and this is an earth thing. And since it's an earth thing, I've already been empowered by Him. It's way past talking to Him. I do that privately. And when I step out into things that need to be changed, there's no time to sit here and talk to God. I'm asking you. No, that's done privately. When you get out here on the street, when it needs to be done, He spoke to that thing. He didn't talk to God about it. He spoke to that thing. He said, no man eat fruit from you henceforth and forevermore. Hallelujah. Too many people are talking to God when it should be past that point, and you should be talking to the mountain. Now, did He say that or what? See, He said, you talk to the mountain. Finances, you've got to personify it. And Pastor, you're weirding out on me. No, listen, this is what Jesus said. Jesus talked to the fig tree just like it had a personality, just like it was personification, just like it was another person. I'm talking to you. Now, where does a fig tree have ears? I don't know, but it responded to Him. I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to my Father. I'm not talking about angels. I've been empowered by my Father. My words have weight. And He said, tell them the other side of this, because if you don't go out and begin to speak what you want and put it into discourse and lego it, this first part will have no effect on you. He spoke to it, and He didn't say, Father, would you help me to do this? He said, I curse you, and from henceforth no man eat fruit of you. Hallelujah. And then the man showed his example by saying, look, when you go into prayer, there comes a point where you're no longer talking to God about, you can worship Him, I worship you, Father, you're my empowerment, pray in tongues. But there comes a point where you stop talking to Him about the mountain and you start talking right to the mountain. Listen, cancer. Listen, confusion in my home. I don't care what name you give it. Just give that booger some name. Hang some kind of tag on him so that he knows that you know what you're talking about. And you're not talking. You can worship the Father, but there comes a time where you better ride along in your truck or your car, and you better have conversations with Him and say, look, I'm going to tell you something today. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. You're not destroying my body. You're not destroying my finances. Because His Word says this, with His stripes I am healed. Isaiah 53:5, 1 Peter 2:23. The Word says, with His stripes I was healed. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Can you show me more proof? Oh, thank you. Just gonna pigtail just a little bit on this. And this part will make you mad. Hallelujah. Right in the midst of this man telling us all about how to get our bodies healed, our finances. He said, now that mountain was supposed to be whatever mountain that is. That's a whatsoever thing. That's a whatsoever. I mean, it is personalized into whatever you find your predicament in. You say, Pastor, I got a bunch of mountains. That's good. I mean, it's not good, but it's good that He made a plan of attack for you. You just name them eeny, meeny, miny, and mo. And all of you just catch a train out of here in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I used to run into devils years ago, and I called Dave and Tim, and they'd just come and try to stare me down. And they'd tell me, they said, talk to it. Talk to it. Them things don't like you talking to them in Jesus' name. They find a way to get gone. Once they realize that you're no longer going to fight other people, and you turn your arsenal onto the real culprit, and say, they're naked in front of you and saying, oh God, he's discovered I'm here. They thought that it was somebody else. Now I'm going to speak to eeny, meeny, miny, and mo. All you devils, you got to go. Hallelujah. But he said this, and he was right in the same discourse of everything he was saying. I mean, Jesus could have left this part alone. But he said, when you stand praying, and stand was not a physical position, it was in the demeanor of everything that he was saying. Like you're speaking to this mountain. While you're doing that, you would have thought if he's teaching a sermon on faith, He would have, the number one priority, you would have thought, okay, he's going to give us the number one priority that causes this to gel. If the chemicals poured together is me speaking, what's the other part of the equation that causes this whole thing to begin to agitate, to bring forth an expected end? You'd think he'd say, now, what you need to do is do such and such and such and such and such and give you a great big formula. What he says is this. You've got it in your Bible. He says, when you stand praying, bottom line, forgive. Now, I go into the whole rest of that, but I can tell you this. If you want it, forgive the cat. Forgive the dog. Forgive the post lady. For it to get over to you, you cannot stand in malice and you cannot be wagging your tongue and saying, I receive on this level and I curse on that level. Those two are diametrically opposed and they will not work. It's like Jesus was preaching a sermon on faith and the crowd was shouting him down, whoa, I'm going to get my miracle. I'm going to get my miracle. And the band's, when the crowd's just standing and applauding, my God, I'm going to stand every day now and speak to my mountain. And they're just, you know, he's walking off the stage and he's waving goodbye. And it's like almost like a second thought. He turns, oh, about forgot this. Thank you, Father, for reminding me. None of this stuff on faith. It don't work if you don't walk in love. Goodbye. I'll see everybody. Hallelujah. I mean, that's the thing. While you're standing speaking to the mountain, you must forgive. It's not an elective. Hallelujah. Now, I know I wish I'd have taken that offering up earlier. Ephesians. Oh man, we got to run now. Ephesians. We were here several weeks ago, but he just wanted me to show you this, that other people in the Old Testament had done this too, exactly what Jesus had said. Hallelujah. Now look at chapter 4. Now, I don't expect any of you that are hearing for this for the first time, you don't have to buy this hook, line, and sinker. You can go back and see if you can go on our website and or ask Kathy. If she doesn't have them downloaded, she will eventually. There's a series of messages on Ephesians, and we're still in Ephesians, that I think will adequately convince you that Ephesians is a mirror image of the book of Joshua. But all I can tell you is, you'll have to go there if you want added proof. But I will tell you this morning that proof has been given. Ephesians is a New Testament book of the book of Joshua. And Joshua is the Hebraic word for Jesus. And this army that it starts talking about in chapter 6 of Ephesians, finally, my brethren, put on the whole armor of God. That army, he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There was a previous army in the Hebraic or Hebrews during their time that did struggle against flesh and blood. And that was in the book of Joshua. But he says, you as New Testament, born again believers, spirit filled believers, you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. But saying all that to say this, the references here are throughout. They're peppered with the book of Joshua, if you know where to look for them. And it's really amazing. Now let's look at the anger that Jesus portrayed. Let's look at the anger which you can speak through your mouth. He says this. Oh, Lord, help me to know. There's every one of them is a good place to start. Verse 17 says this. This I say unto you. Chapter 4, if I did not say. Ephesians 4, 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness that is in their heart, who pass feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness and greediness. But you've not so learned Christ, if so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Isn't it amazing here that he's speaking on that we're supposed to have a certain conversation? Which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let's stop right there. Now I had all my life heard, and I believe the principle is true. Son, daughter, children, pastor, from anybody that understand forgiveness, whatever you do. I mean, you can fight. But make sure you go put your arm around them and hug them before the sun goes down. Don't go to bed angry. That is a good principle. That's a good principle to live by. Call them up if you fought with them. But that's not what he's saying right here. That's not what Joshua was saying. Because it's as giving a reference right out of the book of Joshua. Paul is referring to that previous army who did fight flesh and blood to picturesque something for us to say, this is your warfare. You're not fighting physical men, but let not the sun go down on your wrath. Now let's turn to the book of Joshua. And where I don't know, I'll find it. Thank you, Lord. I think it's in the beginning part. Hallelujah. All right, chapter 10. He always leads me. Now, I'm not going to read all these names, and I'll just say that guy, because when my mind's someplace else like it is right now, it's not going to help you or me to stop and try to pronunciate some of these words. Let's look at, this is Joshua going in and his entire army. They are a conquering force. They are going into the promised land, but there's giants in the land. And there are, in this particular case, this was the army of Israel standing up for somebody else. But five kings came to oppose the ones that they were protecting. And these five kings said, look, we're going to have to join ourselves together. And if we do, our odds increase. We'll become like the sands of the sea. We'll be like strong. We'll be able to go forth. Let's look at I might have to skip down after I start, but I'll find my place here in a minute. Verse 7, and Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto him, fear them not, for I have delivered them unto thine hand, for there shall not a man of them stand before thee. And Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. Now here's a perfect picture of what I said before. There is a time for you to talk to the Lord. But then there's a time for you to come out of your prayer closet or in your prayer closet that you begin to turn from that which has been empowered to you. This is where he said, and I heard his voice say, tell him the other side of this, because see, if you go out here on Monday or Tuesday or probably tonight before you get home or before you get hit to the restaurant, if you don't understand that David said, I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress. And the moment that you don't say it, and the moment that it owies you, and you say anything different, just turn right around and say, my God, forgive me. When something perverse starts coming out like, this ain't going to happen for us. It's not going to happen. God's not going to meet our need. I'm all the time sick. I'm all the time discouraged. I'm all the time under mental anguish. You know, if you just stop, even if you were in a business deal, if you said something real negative, horribly negative that's going against, if you just stop and the CEO sitting there and you say, sir, excuse me, I was wrong. You won't do that two or three times in public and embarrass your own self, that you'll stop that kind of stuff. Well, that's not, I'll tell you, your victory is worth it. You better learn how to train yourself. You better learn how to lay go and put into effect. And when you go out, and don't think that he just thinks, okay, That's all right. That's all right because I know what you're going through. Listen, you can neutralize what you set into effect if you let your anger about... When you get mad and your madness is like, I'm mad about this thing. It's been in my house way too long. I've not been seeing what I believe is His provision for us way too long. And I am, woo. I don't know if there's any sanctified cussing or not, but I'm right on the verge. No. There is that cursing in the spirit where you begin to speak to it and say, I'm mad and I'm not going to get off of this until something's done about it. You're not the one abating it, Father, but I've got the right to speak and I'm not going to let the anger stop until it's completed. And we hadn't even got to the verse yet. And you're helping me do some good preaching. I think it's good. Okay, Lord. And verse 10 says, and the Lord discomforted them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way, all the way to that place, and smote them there and there. And it came to pass that they fled before Israel, the going down to that place. And the Lord cast down, look at this, the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto that place, and they died. They that were more, look at this, and they died. They were more which died from hailstones than they which the children of Israel slew with a sword. My God. See, once you get it started, then God, you give God the authority to get in there with you. And if you're sitting by yourself and you say something that goes crosswise, what you now, if you stood up on a grace line and you said, okay, God, I believe that I receive, and you go out, now what is it? I'll tell you, it doesn't matter. The symptoms are still here. The check hadn't come in yet, but that doesn't matter. I'm telling you, and I'm not going to give you some lame prayer request. You know, sometimes prayer requests are so lame that people just want to tell them so they can tell everything they want to. They just want to. They know it's a camouflaged way to be able to complain. I'm going to tell you just what you need to know and no more, because I'm telling you, God is my source. Oh man, I'm preaching real good now. Nobody wants to say amen. He said that God killed more of them. God killed more of them. Just rained down hailstones out of heaven. And I mean, they were killing them with the sword. I mean, running these guys down. They were thousands of them were dying with the sword. And the ones that these guys, God had their number. I mean, the guys thinking, I got out of their way. Boom! Hailstone hits him right in the head. God, you better believe that God will get out on your enemies like that. Hallelujah to God. Verse 12, and Joshua, then spake Joshua unto the Lord. Now he's going to speak to the Lord for a minute. In the day when the Lord delivered the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, now this is what Joshua said. And he said, see, because they were running, God said, kill them all. Kill them all. And it's stereotypical of your enemies, and God doesn't want any of them breathing. God doesn't any want them to come back and bite you. Yeah. We're talking Wednesday night. You know, the most vulnerable time for most Christians is when they get a little bit of breathing room. Oh man, I feel better. Well, if you feel better, go harder. I mean, the old timers used to call it making hay. I mean, go at it. When you do catch your breath, don't stop coming to church. When the owie stops, get in there and go harder and faster. Every time, go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see when he had major crusades and there were major miracles took place, he did not take the week off. He went immediately up into the mountain and spent time with his Father because he knew that there was going to be some kind of something that was going to come on the end of that as a some kind of tsunami effect, that God did something then. Now the enemy's going to come. And where most Christians lose it at is they reverse the cycle. We usually pray out of desperation. God, I need, and He'll come. My God, He's touched me so many times when I was in desperate needs. But then when we get, boy, I feel things are better now. And we'll take 2 weeks off of prayer. Or a month off of the church. Or, you know. And then we've got to go right back in to climbing ourselves up. Hallelujah to God. Man, when it gets quiet, I know. Thank you. He said, then the Lord, or then Joshua, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, this is Joshua speaking, wasn't God. He said in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still unto Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed unto the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Hallelujah to God. Paul is saying in Ephesians, stay at it. While you're in the day of vengeance, don't back up. While there is a holy fierceness of you speaking to the mountain and day after day, I've had things in my body that was almost extinguished. And when it almost gets extinguished, when you stop feeling the pain, that's usually when you stop confessing. And I would remember when the dullness of it starts to throb again, I'd say, my God, the time to avenge this thing is when it gets real good and it's almost gone. Get it out. I mean, spend as much time the next day. And this is wonderful. You can ride down the road. You can walk and talk and speak to it and say, I'm saying to you, body, now listen to me. You are healed by His stripes. You are healed. I'm not letting the sun go down on my wrath in Jesus' name until I can feel this thing no more. I'm going to speak His word every day until the check comes in, the job starts, until this happens, until the attitude changes among my kids, until everything around me gets in a perspective of I know this is what the word of God says. I will not stop saying what God's word says about the situation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to avenge. It's not talking about make sure you don't let the sun go down. No, that's good. That's a good principle. It's talking about stay at it. Stay on it. Keep speaking to it. Wake up every morning. Get your cup of coffee. Worship God for a little bit and then have your conversation with Mr. Booger or whoever it is. In Jesus' name, I'm talking to you. Let's go ahead and have our conversation. The Word of God says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. Well, what if I say it one time? Do I say it again? My God. Throw hailstones on top of their head until you beat them down in the ground. And if you can hear them, I love the book of Psalms where it says, let the angel of the Lord pursue them. Let their way become slippery that they find no place for their footing. Hallelujah. God, now if you think God is not an avenger and there's not a part of Him, yes, He is my lamb. But my God, He is my lion too. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And He'll raise up real strong on your behalf. But He needs the other part of the equation. You walking out of here and saying, okay, God, I received a touch. But tomorrow, now I can promise you this. God, I hate this. You're going to get an opportunity. You're going to get an opportunity. Maybe before the parking lot. To say something negative. And while you're doing it, and when you're standing out there, just say right in front of the person, God, forgive me. Or, that's not right. That's not what I just heard. I say what His Word says. I speak to the mountain. It's coming in. I'm exceedingly blessed. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. All right. Would you lift your hands and just magnify God for just a moment? Father, we love You. Faith 101, Father, we just exalt You. We glorify You and we praise You. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. Most of us are predetermined, and that's fine if we're in prayer about it, what our normal giving is.
But just say that there's things that needs to be met right now. But that is not to put a necessity on anyone. That is to do this, to say He'll never ask of you anything that you don't have. And then it really is to just notify any of you that's got something that's saying, hey, He's been speaking to me. That verifies it. I get to be a part of a miracle. Hallelujah. And that's all you need to just thank God that you can be a part of good things happening. Hallelujah. So, why don't you ask Him what He'd have you to give this morning. Father, we love You and praise You. Thank You for this. You're so faithful to Your Word. This is what we say. I say that Immokalee is in revival. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. The dead are raised. Demoniacs are set free. Maimed are made whole. And thousands and thousands are born again. And I say that we have all the monies for this revival. Did you hear me, Mountain? Mountain, did you hear me? I'm speaking to you. In my own personal life, I command increase in Jesus' name. And in the life of this body and in this church, I command increase. The young lions, they lack, suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord, that's me, they'll not want, they'll not lack any good thing. I call You Jesus, my provider. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Said you're riding home. When he or she says that, don't correct them. Let them correct themselves. When they say something, oh, they'll think about it 5 minutes. Oh, I'm going crosswise of what I just started. I just started victory in my life. Hallelujah in that area. Hallelujah. And if they don't think of it, pray about it. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. I bless You, Father. Glory. All right, would you stand? You are blessed. God bless you. We love you. Have a great day in Jesus. Amen.